Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, 24th of February. This hour, how to live simply, how to live frugally, how to live inexpensively. Sarah Noel is our guest. She has a syndicated Frugal Living column, which is available through the United Media's Newspaper Enterprise Association, and it emphasizes not being cheap, but living simply with family values and eco-frugality in mind. She will give us ideas of cutting down the food bill to finding alternative uses for everyday items. She's frugal, not cheap, and allows common sense in cost-cutting endeavors. She has a column that is featured in many newspapers, and the financial survival guide stretching every dollar, which is through the Scripps Company TV station group. So we should get lots of calls on this. We asked for some email response and got several of those, which I think are pretty good this hour. I think our phone lines will get jammed with your ideas for living less expensively, which many people are having to do. Many people probably ought to do, including those very, very wealthy people. Sorry for saying it, but that's what came to mind last hour. And those people who are unemployed, who are underemployed, and those people who just want to live gently on this good earth. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. And our Facebook page, if you want to give ideas on Facebook so we can all talk about them, which I find it has become a part of my day now. Just go to the Kathleen Dunn Show on Facebook, and there are ideas there as well. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, great pleasure. I would imagine that these kinds of ideas are of economic necessity now a part of many people's lives. People who didn't think they would be in the position of having to live frugally are now having to live frugally.
Yes, and I think it's a good thing. You know, I mean, I think that we've kind of been overspending for quite a while now, and it's nice to see that people are paring down, although it's, you know, unfortunate that for some people it's not by choice.
Right. When did you start? Have you always been a person who has been a living inexpensively, or did you have an epiphany at some point in your life?
I had an epiphany. No, I wasn't always frugal. In fact, I wouldn't say I was an overspender, but I really wasn't careful with my money. But when I married, I decided to stay home with my children, and so we were down an income.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided, you know, we would pare down and look for areas to do so. And I started the website because I figured there had to be other people that were in a similar situation, and it kind of took off from there.
Mm-hmm. And now there are so many people who want to do this, and if it has to be for economic reasons, maybe it's for that reason, but other people just want to live that way. It's just a better way to not use as many resources in the world and to simplify your life.
Yeah, and, you know, it really, you find that you appreciate things more, the less complicated things are. And you're wasting less, and, you know, like you said, you know, it has a green value, too. So for some people, it's a trend, and for other people, it's a lifestyle choice. And, you know, and like you said, for some people, it's not really a choice, and they're just trying to, you know, stay afloat.
Sarah, what's the difference between being a frugal person and being a tightwad?
Well, to me, if you're cheap, it has a negative impact on others,
mm-hmm.
you know, and when you're frugal, you're more generous, and it's about wasting less, and it's your own priorities. And, you know, so when you're cheap, you're looking for the least cost of items, and you're stingy. And, you know, for me, being frugal is choosing the best balance of your time and money and creating the least amount of waste. And so to me, it's quite a difference.
When you talk about not always being careful with your money, I think that many of us have been in that position. And when you think about it, you spend so many hours of your life working, and the reward for that is an intrinsic reward, but it's also that you make money so that you can live. And it's strange that we wouldn't sort of guard that. We wouldn't look at the money that we make and say, I need to be careful with this.
Well, there's so many outside sources that impact our day. You know, marketing messages are everywhere. And while I'm not opposed to spending, I mean, I think that, you know, what each person does with their money is their own business, and how they prioritize their lives is their own business. However, you know, there's just so much pressure from external sources of things that, you know, maybe you should have. And so you just start to get buried into the things that you think you need.
Right. Where do you find that you can live most frugally? What part of your life? Is it the size of your house or the food that you eat, or what is it? Or all of the above?
I think it's everything. I mean, I think a lot of people tend to focus first on food. I don't advocate that. While it is a good option for some people, I think some people might take that message incorrectly. So I think that you should look for being less wasteful in every area that you can possibly do on your own. So I wouldn't, you know, necessarily look into food first, because, you know, people look at their bill and they're thinking, oh, I spend $800 a month and I can pare down on that. And while that's true, you also want to be, you know, healthy and eat nutritious things and not pare it down to the point where you're extreme about it. So I don't advocate that area first. I think you should start out with looking at you need to track your spending first. Look at what you've got going on in the first place, and see where you can start making some cutbacks and take it from there.
And how do you track that spending?
Well, you can keep a notebook, write things down, everything, all your bills, you know, and create a budget. And so when you go shopping, you can take your receipts and write it down, and then compare, you know, the following month. You know, are you doing better? Are you doing worse? What areas are, you know, the red flags? And, you know, and pinpoint those areas.
Do you think most of us do that, or would that be that idea you just gave us that people are responding by saying, oh, there's an idea I have never thought of?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, for my group of like-minded people, it's pretty common. But for other people, maybe they haven't looked at their budget in a year or 2 years, or maybe they just, you know, they scribble down, you know, things that they've spent, and they really don't have a clear idea of what's in their bank account. I mean, maybe they notice when it's, you know, in the red, or they notice when they're, you know, getting low, but they aren't taking a really good look at, gee, you know, my utility bill was this month. You know, I could really take a look at the kilowatts that I use off my meter and improve on this.
Right.
And, you know, these things don't take a lot of time. And, you know, when you start considering them, you know, it can be a considerable savings.
Mm-hmm. I think of what's happened in the last 20 years, not so much now, but this movement of people to exurban areas, and not many people have lived this way, but a substantial number have 3-car garages, and they've built these McMansions, and people have moved farther and farther from where their jobs are in cities and built larger and larger places. I'm wondering, in your family, because you decided to stay home, if your living space, and if we need to look at our living spaces these days, many of us may have too much.
Well, I'm living within my means, and so I try not to judge other people. You don't know their situation, if they're living in a large house or if they have nicer cars. I mean, you can't look at that and think, oh, they're overspending. You have no idea. You don't know where their money is being spent. I think if each person decides what's most important to them, prioritizes, and has, you know, a savings, and if they're in debt, they have a debt plan, they're doing well.
One of the people, I'm wondering if you agree with this, who was writing ideas on our Facebook page yesterday, said it's amazing how much less you feel like buying things if you don't watch television. Do you think we're greatly influenced by media?
Yes, I do. It's good and it's bad. You know, each person makes their own choice, and each person reacts to that marketing in their own way. I find that now with like TiVo and DVRs and things like that, you're skipping over commercials, and so you have an opportunity to not be impacted as much. But, you know, sure, if you're not watching television or you're not influenced by advertising, sure, you may spend less. And you may not feel that you need some items. But, you know, at the same time, even if you're watching them, you make that choice yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, nobody's forcing you to go out and, you know, buy those things.
Isn't TiVo a fabulous invention? I just love it. I just love it. And it cuts down, it gives you more time to do other things as well. It's really good. Are there people who look at you and your family and say, man, they're really at an extreme here. I couldn't live that way. Do they, on the other hand, have a completely opposite reaction to you and say, what can you teach us?
Well, in my circle, it's more, we're all like-minded individuals. Mm. However, occasionally I'll get reader mail where someone will say, gee, you know, I think you want to go back to a different time era, you know. And that's not it at all. I mean, I'm not against modern conveniences in any way, shape, or form. I pick and choose conveniences that work for me. And I don't think I live extreme. I mean, I like knowing that I can if I choose to, and so I have those tools and resources at my disposal. But that doesn't mean that I'm living and sacrificing and deprived or anything like that. Not at all.
Mm-hmm. We are going to welcome phone calls for you. We have many of them coming in, and also emails as well. 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. The email address is talk@wpr.org. And we start with Eugene from Viola. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Kathleen. I have a tip on saving money on fuel oil for furnaces.
Okay.
If you buy here in Wisconsin, most distributors don't like taking an order under 100 or 150 gallons. If they do, they charge you either about a $15 or $20 drop fee. Now, if you can find a station that will sell you off-road diesel, not only won't you pay the fuel tax, but you'll also buy it for 10 or 15 cents a gallon cheaper. If you buy it 5 and 10 gallons at a time from spring, summer, and fall, by the time fall comes along, you've got your fuel oil tank full.
Huh.
That's a great tip, Eugene. Thank you.
Yeah, and then also, if they're cutting trees, a lot of times some of these cities, my brother does it over in one of the cities here in central Wisconsin, outside the boulevard, the city sometimes are happy to see you take those trees out. And what he does, he takes the trees out and hauls them out, then he turns around and cuts it up and sells it for firewood to the tourists coming through.
Well, that's excellent. I mean, how resourceful.
Yeah.
And like you said, you were keeping a good notebook. I've kept one of those for years, particularly in my car, my gas mileage, my gas consumption.
I love that. I like to hear those things.
And it's always fun to look at 20 years hence or 30 years. Thank you, Eugene.
Yep.
Thank you, Eugene.
Bye. Jackie is next from Drummond. Hi, Jackie.
You know what? I totally agree. You know, with frugal living, you know, I'm in my late 60s, I've lived like this my whole life. My mother always used to tell me, if everybody lived like you, there wouldn't be jobs. So I always, every time I hear this, I think, you know, if everybody lived like me, where would our gross national product would be? Where would our factory workers in China be? I mean, it really is just an about-face with the economy if we do cut back. I mean, you know, Christmas time, look at all the pressure. Go to the mall. I don't go to the mall. But where would we be financially, in the retail business, where would Old Navy employees be if everybody was like you and me?
You know, this is really a common question. How does frugality impact, you know, the economy? And the truth of the matter is, everyone isn't frugal, and everyone is never going to be frugal. And so I look at it like this. I look at my personal economy first. That's my opinion. That's how I view life. And I know that not everyone is going to be frugal, and so I'm not concerned. I'm not against spending. I'm still spending money. I'm consuming and buying. I'm just being careful about what I'm consuming and buying, and I'm making sure that I'm setting some aside for savings, too.
Is there a rule, do you think, of how much we get advice like this? You should have at least a month's salary in the bank. You should save 8%, 10% of your paycheck if you can. Do you follow those kinds of rules, Sarah?
I don't have set rules. I mean, financial gurus all, you know, state, you know, how much they suggest. To me, if you're paying yourself first, you're covering your bills, and, you know, you're making an attempt to save some money and to decrease your debt, you're doing pretty well these days. You know, and so, I mean, all these rules, they're getting kind of hard for the average American to follow these days, you know? And so what I do is I just make sure that I have some in my savings. I make sure that, you know, the any debts that I incur on credit, I pay off, and, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Jackie, for your call. Mary from La Crosse is next. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me on. I'm retired and find that living on a fixed income generated a bit of frugality on my part. And one of the things that I find that helped me was catalogs. I was inundated with catalogs, and you open them up, and they're so pretty, and they have all these wonderful things and things that you didn't know you needed until you opened them. And now they just go in a brown grocery bag. The minute they come in the house at Christmas, I open the Smithsonian catalog because I do Christmas shopping out of there occasionally. But other than that, and I found as a result that I'm getting fewer and fewer catalogs because I don't shop anymore out of them. And if I'm going to shop, I go to a store and support my local merchants and pick and choose. And so that has saved me just an incredible amount of money because I don't see things that are pretty but I don't need.
And that's a wonderful tip and something that I also suggest to my readers. And, you know, another thing you can do is, you know, sometimes catalogs are nice to have. I mean, not always, but, you know, sometimes you like to look through something and you like to see what's new. It, nothing says that you can't clip out something that you like, you know, put it in a notebook, you know, and have a wish list and, you know, build up things that you want, but you don't have to have right that moment, you know. And then later on you may find that you didn't really want it at all because you delayed that gratification of buying it. So you don't have to ban all catalogs, although if it works for you, that's great. You know, you still want to enjoy things, and you still want to, you know, feel that you're worthy of things, too. So, you know, that's something else to keep in mind.
That's true. But I figure if I can pay my bills each month and put something in savings, I'm worthy.
Oh, definitely.
Done a good job
I definitely,
myself.
Definitely agree with you.
Thank you, Mary. Worthy Mary. Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
800-486-8655 is our number. What do you think of coupon cutting, Sarah?
Well, when I first started out, I did clip a lot of coupons, and I was very much into coupons. But what I found is I used to live in New York, and so they doubled coupons up to 99 cents, and so that was a real deal for me. When I moved, some places double, and some places don't. And so I found, and then again, the coupons, there weren't a lot available in our local paper. So what I started doing was streamlining my grocery list instead. And so I found that if I bought a lot of off-brand or store-brand products and had a good meal plan, that was what worked best for me. That's not the case for everybody. I mean, coupons work out really well for others. But right now, I'm not a coupon user. I would say I'm an occasional coupon user.
And where do you live now, Sarah?
I'm in Michigan.
Michigan. That's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary, for your call. Amanda from Sturgeon Bay is next. Hi, Amanda.
Hi. I am a single mother of two. I make $12,000 average a year, and I don't really feel like I'm frugal. I make a lot of my own clothes, and I do a lot of thrift shopping, but I live very comfortably for
how
little money I make.
How do you do it?
I don't really know. I, you know, we go out to eat once a week. I have, you know, really nice Old Navy Gap clothes that other people have spent, and I maybe got them for 50 cents, you know, at a thrift sale. So, you know, I don't really feel like I'm losing out. I'm only 23, so I really actually, my daughters are extremely happy. We don't have cable, but we do have DVDs. We have an extensive DVD collection, and I've gotten them for maybe $5 a piece.
I think oftentimes what happens is that it's not so much how much you make, but it's how much you spend. And so, you know, someone could have a far greater income, but if they're tapped out and spending, they're not living as well as you are. And so, to me, I think great for you. You know, I mean, you have the income that you have, and you're making it work for you, and you don't feel that you're deprived or sacrificing. And I think that's wonderful.
It sure is.
I have, and like I said, I'm 23. I go to school. I have no debt. Everything is out of pocket. And people always ask me, and I'm like, I don't feel deprived, you know. I don't feel, like, at all I'm missing out.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I guess what you just have to do is realize what you can live without and what you can and what you can do yourself versus going out, and just realize what your priorities are. And as long as your family is healthy and happy, you know, you can kind of cut and just kind of, like, take baby steps, I guess.
Right. Thank you, Amanda.
That's what we did. Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's a great story, isn't it? Because most people would say raising two kids by yourself, going to school, $12,000 is your income. No way could I do that. And she sounds perfectly content.
Yep. It's inspirational.
Yes. More phone calls in a moment. 800-486-8655. Sarah Noel is our guest, syndicated columnist for Frugal Living. Frugalvillage.com is the website for you to go to. And we're talking about that very subject this hour of the show. Our email address, talk@wpr.org, and you can share suggestions on living frugally at our Facebook page, which is the Kathleen Dunn Show, when you go to Facebook. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Here's another email that's come in, Sarah, from Danielle in Cottage Grove. Improving the energy efficiency of your home is a great way to save money. They bought a house, knew they had to redo the kitchen, and they chose energy-efficient appliances, putting in new insulation, installing a programmable thermostat, and changing to energy-efficient light bulbs. They've already noticed that monthly budgeted energy bill has gone down by $50 a month, which will be a savings for years to come, which is very true. Sometimes it requires an investment in order to live less expensively, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean, there are definitely some things that are worth investing in. I also suggest, you know, tools that you can invest in that will help you to save money. And, that's something big that she did, but there are small ways, too. You know, and something as simple as, you know, maybe a dehydrator or, you know, something to that effect. And so what she's doing is on a large scale. There are small-scale ways, too.
Talk more about that, the dehydrator for?
Oh, for dehydrating food so that you're not wasting food. Oftentimes people will have leftovers of things, and they'll stick them in the fridge, and then, you know, they kind of forget about them. But if you invest in some tools like a dehydrator, you know, you're able to dehydrate and dry your foods, and or you could stick them in the freezer just as easily, and to use later. And so to me, you know, there are quite a few things that you could invest in that will help you to save later.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine, I don't know what the figures are on this, perhaps you do, the amount of food that we waste must be substantial.
Oh, I don't have any statistics on that, but, you know, there are definitely ways that you can waste less food. I mean, for example, you know, you can plan better. You know, you can dedicate a day a week, you know, to use up your leftovers, or, like I said, get into the habit of freezing them, label and date them, and have a meal plan. You know, the library is at your disposal, so you can borrow books, you know, to get recipes. And, you know, if you keep an inventory and keep track of what you have and when it expires, it could be something as simple as a dry erase board or an index card in your kitchen to create a master list. And, you know, and you can jot down when you've opened up something like mayo or salad dressing and, you know, rotate your food and place older items in the front so you use them first.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you want to clean regularly so that, you know what's available. You can organize and know what you have in your kitchen and make sure that you can reach it easily and, you know, keep the shelves clean and so you can avoid getting pests like moths or ants and things like that. And, you know, just check for near-empty boxes of spilled food and things like that and group like things together. And, you know, those types of things are going to help you to waste less.
Right. Let's go next to Lisa from Madison. Hi, Lisa.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to comment that I'm married to a very frugal person, and thankfully to him, we are on the road to retire at 50, and that was always our goal. So one thing that we started out with in our marriage is to save, first we said 10%, and then we upped it to 20%. So to always pay ourselves first is our saying that we do. And then to recognize that every decision, cost decision that we make has a cost. It has a, it's a trade-off. So we just think, for example, I have a neighbor who has a cleaning service. And I just tell her, well, there's a trade-off. I can work longer, or I can clean my own house and use that money towards my retirement.
Mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? You retire at 50, and then what?
I'm just going to do whatever I want to do. That I might hang out at the cabin all the time or explore other passions in my life, but just knowing freedom that if I don't want to work all the time, I don't have to.
I think this is great. This is, again, I love hearing this from everyone because these are things that I really suggest to my readers, too. It is all about the choices that you make. And, you know, if you make a poor decision or a poor choice, it doesn't mean that it's all over. You just jump back on and you start again and start making, you know, positive choices for yourself and have, you know, a goal in mind. And, you know, your goal is, you know, you wanted to retire early. And, you know, if you just keep at it and just focus on those goals and know that each decision is bringing you closer to that goal, it makes things much easier.
That's quite something to be able to retire like that at the age of 50. That's great. Thank you, Lisa, so much for your call. Jim from Hurley next. Hi, Jim.
Hi, good morning. I just tuned into your program here, and it sounds very interesting. Just wanted to share with you a little thing that we did is we lived in the Green Bay area, and my wife and I both had good jobs. But, you know, we lived in a decent neighborhood, and never seemed to be able to get ahead. You know, the cost of living for the house that we lived in and whatnot. We did invest in our stock portfolios, but a year ago we were able to work from home, and we moved up here and took advantage of the lower cost in housing and essentially got rid of a mortgage payment. And we're enjoying life, I think, more today than we ever have.
Hmm. And you're able to continue working, both of you, from where you're living, from your home?
Yes, correct. We're able to work from, well, my wife works from home. I worked for a Fortune 500 company out of Green Bay, and I was able to get a job up here that's very similar to that. And but, you know, just the, yes, there isn't a lot of the extra things that we were able to do down there. But at the same time, we found other things such as skiing and cross-country skiing.
Oh, sure.
And hiking and things that really don't, you know, like hiking and stuff, really doesn't cost a lot of money, but it's very enjoyable. And by cutting those huge expenses, we live very, very comfortably, and we're enjoying it.
Mm. Sounds pretty nice to me, Sarah. How about you?
Oh, me too. I think that you, you know, you're right on there. A lot of people, they just, they're spending on things that aren't really contributing to their happy factor as much as they think they are. And so what happens is when you start to pare down and you start eliminating, this and that one thing at a time, or maybe five things all at once, you start to look for options. And when you're open to looking for options, you find, you know, there are a lot of options available that are cheaper or even free. And they fill your life, and you'll find that a lot of these things are natural, outdoors, or something that really boosts yourself. And maybe it's reading, or it's a hobby, or something to that effect. And it fills up the gap that you may have had initially from all the entertainment that you did before, and you don't feel any loss whatsoever. And in fact, you start to, you know, think, wow, I can't believe, you know, all these years that I thought that, you know, all these things were wonderful and great. And really, they weren't any more fulfilling.
Thank you so much. Have fun skiing today, if that's what you are choosing to do. Here's an email from Gina. We have a dry erase board next to our refrigerator. When I come home from the grocery store, I write down the dinners that I have purchased to help the kids pick from that list every day for what they want for dinner. I work until 5 Monday through Friday. It helps our family stay on track and not stop at fast food for dinner. And also every Saturday is leftover day. When we clean out the fridge and get to choose from our favorite meals that week, it saved us money and has given us a sense of what we are eating, what we are buying, and what we would be wasting.
Well, I love that. In fact, I wrote a column on that specific topic in the past. And I think what's great about that is, you know, like she said, there's a clear-cut idea of what they're having. So what that does is not only does it help them avoid eating out, but if she were to be sick or busy, everybody is aware of what is available to make.
Yes.
So she can delegate and, you know, it's a good teaching to her kids and her family to, you know, not rely on one single person to do everything.
Mm-hmm. A number of people have sent emails about gardening, no matter where you live, be you in a beautiful place in the country or urban gardening, which is really picking up steam all over the country. That certainly is a way to cut down on some food costs, but it's also a wonderful activity.
I agree. But gardening isn't for everyone, and sometimes you may not see that savings initially. You know, I mean, if you're not a gardener and you're starting out, there can be some waste. But if you, you know, start out small and pick easy produce to, you know, initially start to grow, and then you'll start to see the savings. So I think, you know, gardening is something you have to be careful of. I mean, if it's not for everyone. So sometimes you may find produce cheaper at, you know, farmers markets or something like that. So it's something that you have to really think about before you jump into it.
Kay is next. Hi, Kay. You're on the air.
Hi. When they came out with the green bags, you know, for recycling and stuff, I started taking them to the store, and I would put them in the cart, and then I would fill the bags as I shop. And then when I got my bags full, I'd be done shopping. And you can't put the big box of potato chips in a bag because it takes up the whole bag, and you need the room. So doing that, I've cut my grocery bill by at least $100 every time I go shopping.
Wow.
Yeah, it's been great. And I've been getting less junk food and a lot more healthy stuff because I can fit that in the bag and the other stuff doesn't fit.
That's a good idea. And I like hearing, you know, people that create little games and challenges and tricks to combat, you know, overspending or spending on you know, unnecessary items. And so I think that is really great.
Thanks, Kay, so much for your call. Paul from Duluth. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey,
and
Paul.
Your guest. I'm disabled, and I've been living on a fixed income now for about 15 years. I want to tell you the story of the humble whole chicken and making stock. You know, when you buy specialty cuts of chicken, like boneless breasts and that kind of thing, it's very expensive. But you can buy a whole chicken for less than $1 a pound, generally. And what you do is you rinse that bird, take out the gizzard and the hearts and the little packet that comes inside, cook that up for the dog. I don't like that stuff. But you take the chicken, throw it in a stock pot, or you could even do it in a crockery cooker with a couple of stalks of celery, a whole onion with the skin on, cut in half, a couple of bay leaves, some carrots, whatever seasonings you want to use, and cook that chicken until the meat is cooked. And then you carefully lift it out of the pot, and you take all the cooked meat off the chicken and throw the carcass back in your cooker and make stock with it. And I added it up one day, and between the cost of buying like canned chicken stock or, you know, like rotisserie chicken or other cooked chicken, that bird will save you about $40, even with the other ingredients. And you've got homemade chicken, you can stock, and you can adjust the amount of salt that you want, because most chicken stock is way, way too salty. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's a healthy thing to do, and even if you're busy, you know, it's one of those things you put on the back burner of your stove and go about your business, and then take a few minutes. And then after you make the stock, the bones and whatever's left of the cooked vegetables ends up in the compost.
That's wonderful. And, I mean, initially when I was younger, you know, I wasn't into dark meat on chicken, and I don't know what I was thinking. I really don't. So I was like the boneless, skinless chick, you know. But then, you know, as I started to see the savings of, you know, buying a whole chicken and, you know, having leftovers and being able to make a second meal or even a third out of it, and then using every last bit and making soup or having stock, it just becomes the best choice. So if I like white meat, I still have white meat, you know, and if the darker meat isn't something that I'm interested in, you know, that particular day, I mean, mixed up into like a chicken salad sandwich or something like that, it's not going to seem like it's a dark meat. And so I think that what you're doing is wonderful.
Thanks, Paul, very much for your call. And we have one line open because Paul just hung up. So if you want to join our conversation, our number is 800-486-8655. Sarah Noel is our guest, syndicated columnist. Her column is Frugal Living, and you find it at frugalvillage.com. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Sarah Noel, our guest. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. And we go next to Michelle from Milwaukee. Hi, Michelle. Michelle, are you there?
Oh, yes, I am. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
And ironically, I'm in the store. sorry, I apologize. But I just have to say, it was interesting listening to everyone call, and I almost feel bad because I'm not frugal at all. But I get the same results, but not for nearly the lofty goals that many of the other callers have had. I simply detest spending $400 on a designer dress that if I wait 3 months, it'll be on clearance for 80% off. And so
I'm with you, Michelle.
My friends will call me and they'll say, Michelle, I need a dress for an event. And, you know, go find it for me because they know I will take $20 and bring them back a Ralph Lauren gown that was originally like $450. And so just by default, I end up looking like this very responsible and frugal person. But the reality is there is no greater rush for me than getting a Donna Karan shirt for $1, which I've done a couple of times at TJ Maxx.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, one of the things, it drives me crazy to spend that kind of money because one of the things that I say to my friends frequently is you can get a real feel for how much things get marked up when you see what these stores are willing to clearance them out at.
Yep, mm-hmm. You're absolutely right.
And so I just cannot make myself pay full price for anything, and I do a combination. I mean, I shop in stores where, you know, all my stuff is brand new and there's nothing from thrift stores, but I've gone to thrift stores and I've bought Noritake china. I bought from a local Goodwill. I think I paid $13 for an five-piece place setting. So it was like 40 pieces of china, Noritake. Went home, looked it up online. It would have cost me $189 per place setting. I bought it for like $15, less than $15.
Wow.
So, you know, it's kind of funny because I said, well, how can I get in this conversation about frugality when just the reality is I just think that it's ridiculous what we pay for things. And so some of that money with those savings, I'll take it and I'll go to Martha's Vineyard. That's a splurge for me. But I find that my life isn't disrupted. I'm not spending every dime that I'm making. I'm able to put more away. But it literally is because I refuse to give people full price I go to the movies, same movie, but if you go on Tuesday, it's $8 cheaper. You know, so and that's the kind of thing that I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I almost felt bad calling in because people were saying wonderful things about being responsible, and mine is simply I'm just being stubborn. I don't.
Well, you're having fun too. She's having. I'm with her. I do. I love Goodwill shopping only if you find the certain kind of store. And she's right. You go to a place and you see what the bargains are, and it forces you to think about ahead about presents for your friends, etc. Because you're talking 75%, 80% off.
Oh yeah. On my website, it's frugalvillage.com. I have a list of the best time to buy items, and I think that this is part of what she's got going on there. She knows, you know, how to time things, where to look for them. And also, you know, when you're buying at thrift stores, I mean, I'm a big thrift store shopper. I go once a week. And, you know, toys and games, baby items, you know, there's so many things, music, movies, housewares,
sure.
formal dresses, you know, furniture, craft supplies, books. I mean, there's just so much there. And a lot of times it's new with tags on it and, you know, still packaged. And so that's definitely an option that you should look into.
Thank you, Michelle, so much for your call. I think we got to get Michelle on hold and have her have a pledge premium with Michelle. Go shopping with Michelle. Michelle, wouldn't that be cool? That really would be. Michelle will take you shopping. If you want to do that for us sometime, call Michelle. I'd bid on you. It's we'd have a good time. Thank you for your call. Let's go to Mary from St. Paul. Hi, Mary.
Yes, hi. Great show here. I just wanted to make a few points. When I heard the woman call about they're retiring at 50, I wanted to support her, and it made me think about an article I read once, how the baby boom generation is inheriting massive amounts of money, more than any other generation, and it seems to me there's still kind of a stigma about not working in this country, that Puritan work ethic, more so than maybe in Europe. I want to encourage people to rethink that, because if more people would look at their finances and their savings, they actually may be able to retire earlier and free up those jobs for the poor young people out there. I think a lot of people just hang on to working, even if it's just working at Walmart, in order to not be home idle and get that stigma on them of not working until they're like 65.
And on the other hand, there are people who really need to work because they didn't inherit that money and they're having a hard time. But there is something to be said, if you can do it, to make way for the next generation, don't you think, Sarah?
Well, sure. That's a tough one. I think that, you know, some people, when they're older, they work by choice. Like she said, you know, they want to continue working. They want to stay sharp. They want to stay busy. That right there is an opportunity for them to perhaps go into something, you know, entrepreneurial at home, you know, and maybe take that hobby to the next step or something like that. And like she said, then it would, you know, pave the way for, you know, the next generation and having some jobs available. If, you know, of course, they don't need that income.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Scott from La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Kathleen.
Hey, Scott.
I've got a suggestion that I'd like everybody not to follow to try and save money, and that is don't cut back on your membership to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Hey, Scott. We love you. Thank you.
What I do have for you, and I know your guest there is not currently in the coupon business, but there is a woman who's has a column in some of the newspapers, and she has a website, which I'm going to give here in a second. They sometimes title her the Coupon Queen, something like that. But the way it works is you get a Sunday paper, and they have the coupon section in there, and they're I guess only a handful of companies that put these things out. And all you do is you pull that coupon section out, and you just write the date on it. In other words, last weekend's, you would have put down, you know, 221, and then you just put it away. And then when you see something that's on sale that you want to buy, you go to her website, and the website is called supercouponing, all one word, .com, and I have no affiliation with it, so I don't get anything out of this, but I use it. And what you do is you just type in the name of whatever it is you're interested in buying, and let's say, you know, for Valentine's Day, Hershey's candy or something, you type in Hershey's, and it will list the coupon, if they have, you know, if there's a coupon available, when it appeared, in other words, which of those dates it showed up on your Sunday paper, when it expires, and what and how much it's good for, how much you have to buy and how much off you get. So then you just, let's say there was one in the, you know, on the 21st, so then I dig out that coupon booklet from the 21st, and it also tells which of the companies put it out. There's one called, I think, Smart Source and Red Plum. You find whichever one it is, and then you just go through that rather than having to go through endless coupons and save them and all that other nonsense. All you have to do is just go to the one that you have the date for, right, clip it out, go into the store, and you can really do some good deals.
And is that a free service?
Yeah, absolutely free. You don't even, and the beauty part here is you don't even have to register. You know, you can register to get on, you know, as an online user, but you don't need to be a member. All you have to do is just go to that part, which I think it's called coupon database or something, and start typing in the name of the product, and then it lists everything, as they say, everything that's available that they have that's available. And, you know, some of this stuff, I mean, it's amazing. You'll get these things where it's buy one, get one free, and then you've got a coupon, and, you know, by the time you get done with all this stuff, you come out of there with, she writes up in her column all the time about how you can walk out of there, you know, with some stuff. Sometimes it's free. I mean, I have some of these deals where I actually make money on a product, you know, because there'll be these things like the register rewards that Walgreens does.
Yep.
And I'll use a coupon. So let's say it's like, it's $2.99 for shampoo, and I've got the register reward at Walgreens gives you, means you get a coupon for, you pay the $2.99, but they'll have a coupon for $2.99 off the next shopping trip you make at Walgreens. Well, then I've got a dollar coupon on the shampoo, so I go in and I walk out of there with a $3 coupon or $2.99 to use in the future. Plus, I just got a dollar off, so I've just made a buck on the deal, plus which I've got the shampoo.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, and I'm just cheap as can be. So this is, you know, one of my little pleasures in life. Thank you very much. So anyhow, it's supercouponing.com, and as I say, I have no connection with it, but it really works.
All right.
I encourage all of our Google users to enjoy.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
It was a great story. Making money off coupons. Mark from Chilton, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. Hello, guest.
Hi.
Mark.
I just wanted to say something about entertainment with kids. And something that I found is helpful to keep kids busy as well as happy. The county and state parks we have, a lot of times, or even city parks, you'll drive by on a beautiful day, and there's a few people playing or utilizing them. And, you know, then you go by a movie theater, maybe another weekend when it's nice, and maybe you decide to go to a movie, and it's usually packed. A movie, obviously, is an hour and a half, 2 hours long, and then you still have to find stuff to do with the kids. But if you spend a little bit of gas to go to an interesting and cool, what children would think is cool, county or state park, I just think it's a great place to spend an afternoon. It's healthy. The kids are walking around and playing, and they're really doing stuff I think that we were meant to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. And Sarah, thank you very much for your time here today.
Oh, thank you, Kathleen.
Sarah Noel, it's frugalvillage.com. Rhonda Fanning and Chrissy Pease are with me in the studio. We thought we'd do some rock and rolling because we've been spending a good portion of yesterday afternoon doing Motown. Oh, darn, I started it before I wanted to, so Rhonda, help me get it figured out again. Tomorrow we're going to be doing a program on Motown, which we're pretty excited about. So I asked both Chrissy and Rhonda to come in and tell us about what's happening. Who we're going to rock and roll tomorrow?
We are. Our guest is Dennis Coffey. He was a guitarist with the Funk Brothers, which were legendary studio musicians at Motown. And actually, the Funk Brothers played on more number one records than the Beatles, Elvis, the Rolling Stones, and the Beach Boys combined.
Wow. And Rhonda found, grab a microphone, Rhonda, which I thought was funny. We were trying to get Smokey Robinson on, and she finds out that he's working with some Australian musicians, and then all these Motown people are in Australia. Well, it was kind of weird.
That's right. Was it Reeves? What, Martha Reeves? Yes. And the Vandell? She was in Australia touring, and Smokey Robinson was opening for an Australian band that's a cover band for Motown who is here in Vegas performing. But I did find this clip, and I want to get to this clip. This is the Supremes performing at the Montreal World Expo in 1967.
Marvelous. And also go to our Facebook. We have more Motown for you. Thanks to Chrissy Peace and Rhonda Fanning for producing the last hour, and thanks for listening. Tomorrow during this hour, it is Motown.
From Michigan's motor town, a new export was added to cars, the Detroit sound. These are the Supremes, whose score on hits is near perfect. Supremes started singing professionally at 18, and in the 4 years since, have become America's top female singing group.